Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by Prosper.com, America's marketplace for people-to-people loans. Prosper.com, where you can compete to bid on loans to fellow Americans.
It's better to give than miss a write-off.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Today is the last day you can make a donation to charity and take that all-important tax deduction for 2007. It's been kind of a rough year for some nonprofits. Comes with the territory anytime the economy gets a little shaky. Marketplace's Janet Babin reports from North Carolina Public Radio.
The official numbers on how much we gave to charities and nonprofits this past year won't be tallied for a few months, but experts say 2007 will be remembered for its variability. Stacey Palmer with the Chronicle of Philanthropy says the wealthiest organizations, museums, hospitals, universities, had a terrific year, but shelters, food banks, and social service organizations have struggled. Palmer explains why.
Demand has increased and their costs are increasing too. Certainly things like gas costs and those kinds of things really affect what they do, just like it affects the rest of us. So it's a really challenging year for a lot of local nonprofit organizations.
Wealthy institutions had such a banner year, it's likely overall giving in 2007 will beat last year's total of close to $300 billion. But if charities want to keep that pace next year, Palmer says they'll have to be more open with the books. Increasingly, donors want specific details about how contributions are spent. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
This is what you might call a U-Haul day for Wall Street. There is a full day of trading, but a lot of investors have already packed it in for the year. So let's do our final numbers segment for 2007. So far, the Dow is down 44 points, a third of a percent. But for the year, it has gained about 7%. The NASDAQ has dropped 9 points, also a third of a percent. But it's up 10% for the year. And the S&P 500 has dropped 5 points in early trading. It is up 4% since January. Your average stock mutual fund, however, the returns this year could be the lowest since 2002.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
One thing that happened on Wall Street in 2007 is that Alan Sloan changed jobs. He went from Newsweek to Fortune magazine. Alan, besides that, what was the key Wall Street moment for you?
It was when the Blackstone leveraged buyout people sold stock to the public in June.
Why?
Because that's when I knew it was all over. I've been saying for a year that money is cheap, there are excesses, this is all craziness, and it will end. And when the Blackstone people raised those billions of dollars, much of which ended up in their own pockets, they were betting that the market had peaked. So I figured I finally had company and maybe I was right. And of course, unfortunately, I was.
And when you say it's all over, are you talking about private equity?
I'm talking about private equity. I'm talking about all of this loose money and cheap money that facilitated deals and a lot of the crazy mortgage stuff. All of that is a function of cheap money. And look what happened.
It's amazing when you look back. The first 6 months, we talked about private equity on this program almost every single day. There was a deal almost every single day. And then all of a sudden, it just completely stopped. In the last 6 months, we've talked about mortgages every single day.
And someday that will stop. I just don't know when it is.
What are going to be the buzzwords on Wall Street in 2008, you think?
I think it'll be the Fed, and it may be bond insurers, who are, I have to say, the most boring thing in the world next to bonds and next to insurance. And this way you have them both in the same package.
But why bond insurers?
Because bond insurers have put AAA ratings on a lot of these securities by guaranteeing them. I think if some of the big insurers lose their AAA credit, we can have this incredible mess. But there is one bright side to that, however.
And that is?
There's stuff for you and me to do.
Well, I'm sure we'll have plenty to talk about no matter what happens, Alan. Happy New Year to you, and I'll talk to you in 2008.
Thanks, and Happy New Year to you and yours and to our listeners as well.
This is the Morning Report for Monday, December 31st on Marketplace.org. More people gave holiday gift cards this season than ever before. That means more gift cards won't get used. People forget, they expire, etc. But there is another option. Websites that allow you to buy, sell, or trade gift cards. Sam Eaton reports.
Consumers forked out approximately $26 billion in gift cards this holiday season. An estimated 10% of that credit will go unspent. That's spawning a vibrant online shadow market. Websites like Monster Gift Card and PlasticJungle.com have created online swap meets for those who want to trade or cash in their gift cards. Sounds sketchy? Forrester research analyst Sucharita Mopuru says it's definitely buyer beware.
There is certainly a risk of fraud. These are stored value cards. It's very difficult to know what's actually on the card until you actually go to a store and run it across a register. There's a chance that the cards could have been stolen. There is a chance that the card doesn't have what was represented to you when you had purchased it.
In response, many websites now guarantee the value of their cards. But with processing fees of up to 5% of the card's balance, Mulpuru says value may have already taken a back seat. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Get out the chips and dip, grab a six-pack, plop on the couch. That's the routine if you're a college football fan. Over the next 48 hours, there will be no less than 12 bowl games. One of them, the Sugar Bowl, has big-time football school Georgia taking on Hawaii. Yes, Hawaii. All teams get big money from playing in bowl games, but for a school like Hawaii, it's life-changing money. Andrea Gardner explains.
How about Hawaii? Taking on Washington, Hawaii holds on.
When the University of Hawaii beat Washington earlier this month, they won the right to go where they've never gone before, to a major bowl game. With that will come an estimated $4.5 million. It's said to be more money than Hawaii's entire football budget. University officials have yet to decide how that money will be spent, but students are already debating if the money should go to athletics or academics. Both could use funds to repair aging facilities, says journalist Mark Platt from the Honolulu Advertiser.
Money like this, even though relatively small in the great scheme of things, it could serve a great need. For the most part, most of the students would tell you, or the legislators would tell you, that the money should go to the athletic department because those facilities really are pretty downtrodden.
Last year, Boise State was standing in Hawaii's cleats, a small team from a small conference playing in the Fiesta Bowl. The school received a $4.5 million payout, which helped fund a stadium expansion project. There were also residual benefits like strong ticket sales, national publicity, and licensing deals that yielded $500,000. Boise Athletic Director Gene Blaymeyer says, more importantly, recruitment improved, perhaps the best way to sustain a winning record and financial success.
When our coaches go into living rooms around the country now, there's not a lot of questions about who you are. They know who we are. They're excited. So hopefully we can capitalize on that and continue to have the success that we've enjoyed.
Other schools around the country want their Boise State moment, and they're investing to make it happen. Sports accounting expert Michael Granoff says for many years, schools have been in an arms race, paying millions for bigger facilities and better coaches.
Football does bring all sorts of intangible benefits. Now, whether they're worth the cost or not, that's another question. And I think schools today think they're benefiting far more from their football programs than they actually are.
Granoff says with the exception of the Notre Dames and Ohio States of the world, few college football programs actually turn a profit year after year. In Los Angeles, I'm Andrea Gardner for Marketplace.
In 2007 was the worst year ever for personal information disappearing. The Identity Theft Resource Center says close to 80 million records were lost or stolen. That's four times as many as last year. It doesn't mean 80 million people had their identities assumed. It does mean that laptops and computer disks with sensitive information went missing. So the experts say a good New Year's resolution for companies would be to step up their information security. Hollywood writers will ring in the new year on strike. But all those network countdown shows will go on as planned tonight, of course. They just might be a little less scripted. Jill Barshay has more.
Some parts of the New Year's countdown shows kind of write themselves, just as well. At Dick Clark Productions, all the writers are on strike. Terry Fahn's an executive at Dick Clark. He says the show his firm produces every year for ABC will be the same as always.
The strike will not have an impact on Dick Clark New Year's Rockin' Eve. Our producers were aware of the potential for a writer's strike and prepared accordingly prior to the strike beginning.
In other words, the writers got all those corny lines down months ago. Ryan Seacrest will fill in with some ad-libbing. Not all the networks were so prepared. NBC's Carson Daly will be unscripted. The good news is the shows will have fewer words and more music instead. Programs will feature Alicia Keys, Plain White Tees, and Mary J. Blige. In New York, I'm Jill Barshay from Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in. And from all of us at Marketplace, Happy New Year!
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.